Right now, it is time to bring in our friends from the Lakeville Journal. Journal, tricornernews.com is where you can find them. And we bring in the J&J Act. We say good morning to both Janet and John.
Good morning. What a lead-in. In
good
great
morning.
Soft head. What's going on?
No, these are just words that don't get enough.
We're trying to describe the fact that I broke my headphones. I wear headphones out. But I don't throw them away. When one side breaks, I just take it off and I use the other side. And whenever that happens, I can move my head around everywhere and there's no feedback.
Which means that my brain doesn't hurt during this.
And people listening to the radio don't have to listen to nails screeching on a blackboard.
Well, that's a bonus.
But
that's
the other words is, Marshall, we did a Daily Planet, and Marshall just loved the word balderdash. Yeah, and that started me going on other words that people like just aren't used enough.
Okay, before we get to today's paper, I want to talk, Brian Ross and I talked about a couple more big events coming up for the Lakeville Journal and the 125th anniversary fairly quickly, and one is actually coming up tonight, and that is at the Movie House, and the other one will be the Salisbury Forum. So let's quickly talk about those two events.
Right. The Salisbury Forum, of course, is September 16th, yep. Friday night. Future of American Journalism. We're so fortunate to have Brian Ross, one of our board members, as well as he's going to be the moderator for that discussion on that Friday night. And we'll have Martin Barron, Subrata Day, and John Costin, who's on the radio with us right now. So you'll see John again, editor of the Lakeville Journal, and of course Martin Barron, a longtime executive editor of the Washington Post, and Subrata Day is Emmy-nominated executive VP and global head of programming for Vice News, which is such a great organization.
All right. So now, we move on, and we look at the front page of the Lakeville Journal, and the big headline, which is kind of broken a little bit, but we'll see how long it lasts, Litchfield County in drought. A drought grips the northwest corner. A lot of information in this article, and no, the drought is not completely over because, yes, we did get rain, but now we'll see how much rain comes back to keep levels where they should be.
Right. We're, of course, putting this paper together just as it started to rain, but it is clearly a story to be told because the northwest corner itself is down about 11 inches on average. The streams are down quite a bit. They're at either 2 to 4% levels. And that means that the stream flow is 74% down. There's thousands of acres of hay in drought, and as well as corn and a lot of animals in Litchfield County alone. There are about 6,000 cattle and 1,700 sheep, and they all are suffering from this. Pastures are not available to them. Farmers are having difficulty trying to figure out how to do a second cutting. So getting 2 to 3 inches of rain over the last couple of days will be certainly helpful, but the problem still is here for farmers, landscapers. The trees in the forests were already slammed by the spongy moth this year, and so whatever we get coming back will be a big determinant in the coming months ahead.
You know, when you talk about the stream levels, I live on a stream that comes down from Mount Riga. I've been there for almost 12 years now, and it's never been dry. It was so dry this year for so long that dust actually kicked up from it if you walked in it. That's
right.
That's how dry it was. Now, it is running again, and we'll see how long that happens. But you don't break a drought unless you get intermittent rain that keeps coming along to break the drought. One anywhere from 3 to 5 inch rainfall is helpful, but it does not help the water table very much. It really
doesn't.
Right,
and also the fish. I mean, yep. The story points out that a smallmouth bass, you know, is at a stress threshold of 76 degrees in the water temperature, and you know, we're getting temperatures of 82 degrees. So that means that's well over the stress levels for the fish. So there's a lot of impact that's not readily apparent.
All right, we will move on to another story that goes along with that, and that is via Deborah Alexandris, and that is weather conditions have created a perfect storm for algae blooms in the area.
Yes. It's a combination of hot weather, which we certainly had, and we've had a couple of flash downpours, and then drought. So those three conditions contribute really to something that's called, you know, blue-green algae, and it's also known as a cyanobacteria. But they that stuff is harmful at even low levels to pets and even children. You get affected by it by ingesting it, so hopefully no one's drinking it. But this story points out that officials went ahead and saw this stuff showing up and in Litchfield County Lakes, and especially in the Twin Lakes Association. And they informed state officials, so now we will know in a day or two the levels of bacteria in there and whether it's really a toxic situation. If that is the case, the Department of Environmental Protection will put up some health advisories. But right now, this is mostly an explanatory story showing everybody what's going on and where we stand with our levels of concern.
All right. Now we'll move over to other news, and that is the historic car parade kicked off a very big weekend on Thursday for Lime Rock Park, and a very big Labor Day weekend as well.
Yes, America's love affair with the car was really on parade this weekend. The Lime Rock Historic Festival 40 started out with a parade that ran starting at Lime Rock and all the way ended up in Falls Village, people along the way waving, and then there was a sort of concert and festival in Falls Village. At Lime Rock, they had races, they had, you know, concourse shows, and they this year nominated the Corvette as the car of the year for its festival. And they also, I think we'll see later on, they named the no-name stretch of the track after Paul Newman for obviously good reasons.
Yeah, the Paul Newman Straight, and what was a couple of years ago they named the Sam Posey Bridge, recognizing area residents and famous people for their contributions to the park. Move on. This is a very interesting story, and Keith Moon has been doing lectures for a while, but now with what's going on in the Ukraine and more, he's got another lecture coming up.
Yes, and Keith Moon, who is a teacher and coach at Hotchkiss School, will be talking on September 24th at Noble Horizons on the subject of Putin and the war in Ukraine, as well as the Special Olympics. These two topics pretty much merged on him. He recently took a two-week trip to Slovakia, and he provided some gifts to refugee families from Ukraine there, and then is going to be, there are 7 or so million Ukrainians displaced by the war. So he will talk, as we have covered his talks in the past, on what's going on in Ukraine and what's going on specifically, his insights into Putin.
And right under that, you know, we found out, and we knew this was coming. This week is the closure of a store in Salisbury. They're having their last days, but a store that was taken over and really turned into a very big hot spot in Cornwall Bridge. The owners want to sell that and move on.
Yes, this is a story that, you know, intersects between what the community has come to really appreciate and enjoy, as well as the intersection with family needs. And the couple that runs this store have really had to sort of take care of their own family in Oregon. So they're shuttling back and forth, but they've decided to sell. And it's going to be unknown whether it will continue as a store, but certainly the hope is that it would. It has been a store since 1835 in Cornwall Bridge, and so hopefully it will continue. Harold McMillan operates a little Housatonic River Outfitters department within the store, and so we also point out very amusingly that the couple will be moving to Boring. It's a place in Oregon called Boring, and Boring has a sister community named Dull Scotland and an Australian town named Bland Australia. So that's just a little aside that our reporter Leela Hawken could not resist reporting.
Of course, the store was forever known as Baird's General Store in Correct. Cornwall Bridge, and now the owners that have been there really have done a good job with it, and it's a very popular spot. So hopefully someone will take it over once again and keep it that way as it moves on. I want to move further down Route 7 to Kent, and in Kent, we've heard about the sidewalk project for a long time. It's conception, and now it's implementation. And Kent officials and some public members have some concerns about the sidewalk project.
Yes, the sidewalk project, which is a hatchling of streetscape, has been going on for a while. The last big topic of concern was surfacing in mid-August. And it still continues to happen. I think Jean Speck, the select woman there, summed it up by saying a lot of things have gotten out on the table. There's a lot of small detail that just didn't add up for some of the observers and the townspeople. And so they've just been chewing on it, and I think we'll eventually get it right, but they continue to grapple with it.
All right, and in Sharon, nice story on what's going on with the Comcast plan to join with the town of Sharon to bring internet service, high-speed internet service, to every location in Sharon.
Yes, and this is a great story because it's certainly a process story in a way, because the long efforts to get to this point now being teed up at the selectmen's level. The Board of Finance has to decide to kick it back to the selectmen to call a town meeting. And then there will be a lot of discussion about how it's going to be financed. The town does have a couple of million dollars plus in its undesignated fund, but it has to maintain a certain level there. And so we're already talking about whether to borrow money or how to finance this. So it will be a lively town meeting once it's scheduled.
All right. Let's take a walk here, John, because a couple of stories about walking. First of all, we'll talk about the walk back in time, which was done by Lou Bucherri through historic Lakeville.
Yes, Lou is taking everybody on a tour through historic Lakeville in this story that was done on last Saturday. He talks about various structures and how they came together. He focused a bit on the mural. The murals that are in buildings, especially the one in the post office, and when it was painted, who painted it, how it was painted, what's wrong with the historic significance of it, such as Ethan Allen is featured in the Revolutionary War, but he was not here during the Revolution. So it's a really deep dive into, although short, into historic Lakeville.
And then we can go to the ongoing Housatonic Heritage Walks that are going on now.
Yes, there are several scheduled out through, October 2nd. Everybody should go to housatonicheritage.org to see what's available. We covered one last weekend on Sunday at the Ottima Farm where there are about 12 fellows who get the opportunity to learn about farming and see what it means to grow food. The farm's produce is used in the kitchen there, the Isabella Friedman Kitchen, and it's also sold by a community-supported agricultural program. So this is one of those great stories, includes a little feature on some beekeeping.
Adama Farm. I never understood beekeeping, but now I know how important it is.
Yes.
All right, this is a headline that's a little scary. Insurance plans get double-digit rate increases in 2023.
Yes, our nonprofit partner, Connecticut Mirror, has been covering this for us, and this is a story that now is official as of last Friday. The state approved increases, and the approved changes for insurance policies, increase 20 to 25% on average. There are some that are less, and this story details the highlights of the ones from Connecticut, Anthem, Connecticut Insurance Company, Cigna, and points out that open enrollment starts again in November, but it is a sort of long look again at what's happening with insurance rates, and it means a lot to the small group holders here in the northwest corner, where companies provide insurance to their employees, and they are facing these kinds of increases. Double-digit rate hikes are among the highest in the country.
All right, we'll get back to Compass in just a few moments, but right now I think we should go to the editorial pages and the opinion pages. The editorial, recognition of farming and farmers.
Right. This refers to specifically a meeting that was held at Freund's Farm in East Canaan on sustainable farming. We were fortunate to have our U.S. Rep. Johanna Hayes here for that meeting, and the Department of Agriculture Deputy Secretary Jewel Brana, and our State Rep. Maria Horn, all bringing to the table their ears and ability to create legislation that will help farmers, one of the hardest jobs on earth and also the most critical. So it was a great discussion, and we had a story on it that John did last week, but this is something we should be thinking about all the time. You know, we're fortunate at Housatonic Valley Regional High School in Falls Village to have one of the strongest agriculture education programs and FFA programs in the state. This is an area that still is very supportive of farming and new farms as well as family farms. So give this a read and support these local farmers and think about what they've had to go through this summer with the drought and so many other challenges they have. They still produce all this great food that we can have in season. So it's an important issue.
And, of course, look back right underneath that, turning back the pages, going back 100 years, and then to the newer turning back the pages 25 years ago.
That's right. Norma Bosworth is good enough to go through these archives for us every week and find the items that are really of interest. There are always, anyone who's been over to the Salisbury Association exhibit of the 125 years of the Lakeville Journal will have seen that, boy, going back through the years, there's always something of interest. Even looking at the old ads is fun and interesting. So, Norma pulls these out for us and always finds something that anyone who's been here for a while, it jogs our memories, or, maybe there's a family member you remember or somebody, your family was friends with. But for new people, too, it gives you this history, and it's a great read.
All right. And, of course, you've got a couple of letters, but also the Chris Powell column. I love stop campaigning for a bit. See what's happening.
That's right. Chris Powell, of course, is our sometime columnist. He's at the Journal Inquirer in Manchester. Longtime journalist in Connecticut, and always makes us see things in a little bit different way. And so we're glad to have him on our pages when we can get him on. And he's talking to our state politicians, of course, who are campaigning and asking them to take a look around as they're going all around the state and really key into what the needs are for voters. So interesting and thoughtful always.
And Lonnie Cotter is a celebration of self-expression.
That's right. Lonnie always has an interesting take, too. And so I'll say that some of the Funky Things or Cadillacs and Martinis. So don't miss this one.
And the retired investor, the beloved baseball glove.
Right. I couldn't resist this column by Bill Schmick that he sent over to us. And, he always takes it from the business side. And so he talks about the economies of baseball gloves and where and how they're made and who uses what kind. And as a baseball fan, I found it fascinating. I hope our readers do, too.
Think about the baseball glove. I was a terrible athlete, but every kid gets a baseball glove at one time in their life. Every male child experiences a baseball glove one way or another. And now it's the same thing goes for women, since women's sports are that big. I mean, it's
some of us had brothers.
Yeah, it's just
stole their gloves and tried to make them supple.
But you compare those baseball gloves to today's, and I laugh at that.
Oh, when he talks about deer hide leather gloves that can go from $75 to $300, and how the pros don't necessarily use those. They go for the off-the-shelf variety, but it's fascinating.
All right. Now, before we wrap up, Compass.
Compass, right. There's always something happening, and Compass is going to tell you what it is. Cynthia writes about the long-lost posters bringing life to local history at the Hotchkiss Library of Sharon as they were getting ready for their renovation. They pulled out old boxes of all kinds of beautiful old posters for their events over the years. That's a very telling part of history, so don't miss that. Standard Space has exhibit Living and Working in Color. That's in Sharon, and the Theo Colomb always has interesting art at his place. Shakespeare's Great Tragedies Explained. That is at the Taconic Learning Center. Three Shakespeare plays, Hamlet, Twelfth Night, and King Lear. so give this a read, and you'll see when the Taconic Learning Center is offering this class. Bound to be fascinating. We also have the talk about the Lime Rock Park Strait being named in honor of Paul Newman, and a great archive photo there of Newman from the Lakefield Journal. I'll also say we have a calendar. Don't miss what's going on, but I'll also say that the movies at the movie house that are still happening are The Killing Fields on Saturday night, September 10th, with Sam Waterston and Richard Schlesinger. Yep. Citizen Kane on September 14th, that's a Wednesday, with Professor Joshua Glick.
And those will be the final two movies in the celebration. And once again, the Salisbury Forum, which is going to be an unbelievable forum.
It will be. I'm really looking forward to that. And we also have the gala coming up the next night, September 17th.
All right. And by the way, I have to go. That one poster from Sharon, Connecticut, the July 4th, 1918.
Yeah.
Stunning.
It's stunning. And that's just one. So don't miss these. You're bound to see the history as it was. Yeah.
All right. Thanks, you guys. We'll speak to you next week.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Take care. That is This Week in the Lakeville Journal. You can find the Lakeville Journal, of course, on newsstands. You can get home delivery or on the web, tricornernews.com for the Lakeville Journal.